This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
We have won! Nepali Janta have won! They have got the democracy! And I say, Nepali Janta, be careful! Nepali leader, be careful! Nepali Janta, Jindabad!
Jindabad!
Hundreds of thousands take to the streets of Nepal to celebrate King Ganendra's decision to reinstate Nepal's parliament. The king's announcement came after weeks of protests and strikes that have crippled the country. We'll take a look at the latest. Then Antonia Yuhas on the Bush agenda, invading the world one economy at a time.
The war in Iraq is the most aggressive application of the Bush agenda, using the U.S. military to expand a corporate globalization agenda, one which the administration has already spread to the rest of the Middle East and hopes to take to the rest of the world.
And Peace Patriots, a new documentary about dissent in a time of war.
I definitely have a debt to pay to society, and that debt is I was a war maker. And the only way I can think of to pay that debt is to become a peacemaker.
Soldiers, students, professors speak out against war. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Nepal, hundreds of thousands of people have filled the streets of Kathmandu to celebrate King Ganendra's decision to reinstate the country's parliament. The king's announcement came after weeks of protests and strikes that have crippled Nepal. Last night, the king announced he would agree to some of the demands of the protesters.
We, through this proclamation, reinstate the House of Representatives, which was dissolved on 22nd May 2002 on the advice of the then Prime Minister in accordance with the Constitution of the Kingdom of Nepal, 1990.
Nepal's parliament has been dissolved since 2002. Meanwhile, Maoist leader Prachanda accused the other opposition groups of making another historic mistake by calling off the protests. Prachanda encouraged the people to continue demonstrating until the parties declared elections for a constituent assembly to write a new constitution. In Egypt, up to 30 people have died in a series of simultaneous bombings in the resort town of Dahab. Over 115 people were wounded. No group has taken responsibility for the attack, but the state-owned newspaper, Al Aram, linked the blast to previous Islamist attacks on resorts in the Sinai Peninsula. The paper reported three members of a group called Tawhid Wal Jihad had been arrested. The international community, including the new Palestinian government, condemned the bombings. This is Ghazi Hamad, spokesperson for the Palestinian cabinet.
The Palestinian government condemns this crimes, which results in murdering of some Egyptian citizens and tourists. We express our rejection and condemnation to this crime and to anything which contribute in shaking the national security of our brother Egypt, and which also violate all the values and human beings' morals.
In Greece, thousands of demonstrators tried to march earlier today to the U.S. Embassy in Athens to protest a visit by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Police dressed in riot gear fired tear gas and clashed with demonstrators. On Monday, protesters managed to hoist a giant poster reading, "Condoleezza Rice, go home," from the central Athens Music Hall next to the U.S. Embassy. 2 years ago, Rice's predecessor, Colin Powell, had to cancel a visit to Athens in order to avoid mass protest. In news from Washington, CNN is reporting that Fox News anchor Tony Snow is likely soon to leave his job at Rupert Murdoch's network and become the chief spokesperson of President Bush, succeeding White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Sources said they expect an announcement within the next few days. Here at home, support for President Bush has reached a new low. A new CNN poll found only 32% of the country approved of the president's performance. Last week, a Fox News poll put Bush's approval rating at just 33%. Meanwhile, the price of gasoline is soaring. The national average price for a gallon of self-serve gas is now just under $3. The price has shot up nearly 25 cents per gallon over the last 2 weeks. President Bush is expected to call on the Energy and Justice Departments today to investigate whether oil companies have been engaged in price gouging. In California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has revealed a number of prominent Latino officials have received death threats in recent weeks because of their stance on immigration. Schwarzenegger said two of the officials were Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante. A spokesperson for Bustamante said the Lieutenant Governor received one postcard from Pasadena that said words to the effect of, "The only good Mexican is a dead Mexican." Meanwhile, President Bush addressed the issue of immigration during a speech in California.
Massive deportation of the people here is unrealistic. It's just not going to work. You know, you can hear people out there hollering it's going to work. It's not going to work. And so therefore, what do we do with people who are here? And this is one of the really important questions Congress is going to have to deal with.
Six New York teenagers have sued Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, alleging the Pentagon has illegally created a massive student database to help identify college and high school students as young as 16 to target for military recruiting. The database includes an array of personal information, including birth dates, social security numbers, email addresses, grade point averages, ethnicity, and what subjects the students are studying. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of the six teenagers by the New York Civil Liberties Union. A new report has determined the U.S.-led reconstruction of Iraq has largely been a failure. Nearly $60 billion has been spent, but Iraq is still producing less oil, has less electricity, and less water than before the invasion. The authors of the report, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said the slow pace is largely due to bad planning and poor execution on the part of the Bush administration. In Washington, fired CIA analyst Mary McCarthy is denying she leaked classified information to the press about how the CIA is running secret prisons overseas. McCarthy was fired from her job in the CIA's Inspector General's office last week. On Monday, her attorney said McCarthy did not have access to the information she's accused of leaking. As the world prepares to mark the 20th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, pro-nuclear forces are pushing for the construction of new nuclear plants. On Monday, the newly formed Clean and Safe Energy Coalition launched a campaign to advocate that nuclear energy is America's clean and safe energy solution. The coalition is being run by former EPA head Christine Todd Whitman and Greenpeace co-founder Patrick Moore. From its website, the group portrays itself as a new environmental grassroots group that supports nuclear energy. However, the Cleveland Plain Dealer has revealed the group's entirely funded by the Nuclear Energy Institute and being run by the public relations company Hill & Knowlton. In business news, Enron founder Kenneth Lay took the stand for the first time and claimed he had nothing to do with the crimes that helped cause the collapse of the company he founded. He denied accusations that he was part of a conspiracy to defraud investors. Lay blamed the company's former financial officer for the collapse of Enron. Lay said, quote, "It all begins with the deceit of Andy Fastow." A new report by Human Rights Watch has harshly criticized the use of lethal injections as a means to execute prisoners. The group says lethal injection put condemned prisoners at needless risk of excruciating pain. 37 states still use lethal injection to kill prisoners in this country. In academic news, a group of right-wing commentators are urging Yale University not to hire prominent University of Michigan history professor Juan Cole because of his views on the Iraq War, Israel, and the state of the Middle East. Juan Cole runs a popular blog called Inform Comment, where he's criticized the Bush administration's decision to attack Iraq. Cole is reportedly a top candidate for a senior faculty position in modern Middle East studies at Yale University. American Enterprise Institute scholar Michael Rubin and Wall Street Journal columnist John Fund have both written recent articles attacking Juan Cole. And here in New York, the leader of the local transport workers union, Roger Toussaint, has begun serving a 10-day jail sentence for authorizing last year's strike that shut down New York City's transit system. Shortly before he was jailed, Toussaint walked across the Brooklyn Bridge with thousands of supporters.
So I stand here today because a judge has found me guilty of contempt of court.
No.
The truth of the matter is that I have nothing but contempt for a system that gives employers free rein to abuse workers. This is not an attack on Roger Toussaint as an individual, but an attack on the membership of Local 100 and on all working people in this city. I am here because the entire labor movement is being told to abandon the idea that a militant trade union can fight back, if necessary, to protect the lives and the security of our membership. All over the United States, workers are being asked to accept declining standards of living and enter pensions, reductions in health care, and speed-ups and productivity. At the same time, the pay and benefits for corporate managers is exploding upward. The era of relative equality in America is ending. Should we sit still and watch? Should we still sit still and watch as a vast gulf opens between the rich and a mass of working poor? What is the responsibility of labor leaders who see this gathering assault? We have a moral and political responsibility to challenge those who would roll back the clock 100 years. Roll back the clock to a time when workers had few rights and few opportunities. I will never accept second-class citizenship for transit workers or working Americans in general.
Roger Toussaint, the head of the Transport Workers Union Local 100 in New York, giving an address before he turned around and walked into the courthouse, turning himself in for his 10-day jail sentence. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn now to today's top story, Nepal. King Ganendra announced last night he's reinstating parliament following weeks of massive street protests to his absolute rule.